The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. Before I start, I just want you to pay attention to that the artwork on the front of your liturgy sheet today, because even in the 1200s, obviously family dynamics have not changed. You can just see the stinky eye that St. Joseph is giving to Jesus after he's been found. Mary she's got her hand out. She's like, what do you think you're doing? And Joseph is just really giving him the eye. Well, today we're looking at the family. I'd like to look at the family in the context of several different ways, of family itself, of the people of God, and of the church. Having just celebrated Christmas yesterday, which is almost unreal that it was only yesterday, we realized that Jesus' incarnation had to take place in a particular place. Historically, it happened. So first of all, I guess we would have to say he was born in Bethlehem in the context of homelessness. They were not home at the time, although apparently they had one. They were just not there. But after the threat of King Herod, the family went into exile in Egypt as refugees. Finally, they returned to Nazareth, and Jesus lived in the home of Mary and Joseph. And we hear this story today when Jesus is 12 years old. One of my earliest vivid memories as a child, I was probably 3 or 4 years old at the time, my parents and older brother John and I were Christmas shopping at Macy's on the plaza in Kansas City, Missouri. Macy's there is like a 3-story building. And I remember the crowds were just unbelievable. That's why I hate shopping. I hate Costco. I just can't go into these crowds because of this experience I had as a child. The crowds were unbelievable. And of course, I was very short because I was 4 years old. I was surrounded by all these tall adults who were pressing on me. I was confused, I remember. And suddenly a wall opened up next to me, and I was pulled through it by the crowds of moving people. The wall closed and then opened again. The people swept me back out through it. My family was gone, and I could not find them. I learned later what an elevator was and what happened, but I spent what seemed like forever looking for my family. And they were looking for me. It was scary. I was finally reunited with them. My parents were frantic, as any real family would act if they've lost a child, even for a short while. I don't remember how long it really was, but it seemed like forever. In the gospel today, Jesus is sitting in the temple completely calm, definitely not the way I felt when I was separated from my family. Joseph and Mary were frantic, worried, like my parents, beside themselves with concern. So we're paying attention today to a real human family story. Imagine how much this is amplified if you are given responsibility of this miraculous child who is the Son of God and you misplaced him. Dread. Wouldn't that be just dread? And yet Jesus seemingly is unaware of all of this, just going about what he knows he's supposed to do. Like me, he would never have intentionally caused such concern on his parents' part. Realizing his place, he returns with them to Nazareth, and for what we know now, he lives out the rest of his normal life with them as an obedient son until his public life begins. Then there is this interesting story of Samuel, whose mother Hannah had asked God to give her a son. The first reading today given to us alongside the story of Jesus in the temple. God answered her prayer, Hannah conceived, and after the child was no longer nursing, she went to the temple, offered her sacrifice, and gave him to the temple, where he lived out the rest of his life. We know that he was the one to grow up to be a prophet, the one who ultimately anoints David as the king of Israel. His story parallels Jesus' own story, who after completing the customary festivals, chooses to stay at the temple, which he calls his father's house. The juxtaposition of the two stories indicates that they are not exclusive one of the other. Jesus' father's home is the temple, but he becomes obedient to the family home. Samuel, on the other hand, leaves his father's family home to serve the temple. Temple and home are one and the same. There is no distinction between the church and the family home, which has often been called the domestic church. The strength of the church is determined by the strength of its building blocks, the family homes. Jesus and Samuel's dedications to the temple widen the definition of family beyond the immediate family or biological belonging. Samuel and Jesus were destined to be servants, instruments of God, leaders of an entire people. And in both of these stories, the hand of God is obviously the cause of the fulfillment of their destinies. In Jesus, however, because his origin is in God, his presence as God widens the context of family even further. Jesus' mission was not only to serve his people, as desirable as that was for them, but to redeem all of creation, all peoples. 2 weeks from today, the season of Christmas will already end with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord on January 9. And I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves. This Sunday, we focus on the personal context of Jesus' family and his role in the household of Nazareth. And as the promised Emmanuel, God with us, with his people, his own house of David, and the tribes of Israel. Next week in the Epiphany, the circle expands as Jesus is revealed to those who come from the East. Perhaps they were astrologers or Buddhists or Hindus or maybe Zoroastrians. The following weekend, we learn how all of this is possible when we talk about baptism. The main point today is that in these stories, we see a definite and recognizable plan of God that is consistent throughout all of salvation history. It is undeniable. It belongs to the family of the home, the family of one's people, and the family of the church. With the gift of baptism, we suddenly understand St. John's letter today, the second reading. The context of our family in God widens further. It involves every person and every part of his creation. John writes, "Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, and so we are. This is the reality now on this earth, not some promise of future relationship. And so we are children of God. Beloved, we are God's children now, whether we know it or not. What we shall be in the kingdom to come has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." One might conclude here that if we see him and we are like him, then we will finally see ourselves. But know this, you and I are now included in this holy family. Families are complicated. Nobody teaches moms and dads how to raise their children in healthy ways. Some get lucky. Parents usually perpetuate the behaviors and disciplines they themselves knew as children. Some healthy, some not so healthy. You don't know what you don't know, and I can only imagine how challenging and daunting it would be to be the father of children, because I've never had that experience. But the point here is that however our imperfections as individuals may be, we lift them up to the Father, and they are taken into glory. In his nature, we are transformed, all sons and daughters, brothers and sisters together, and we are formed and perfected not as individuals, but as a family. The Son of God, in obedience, submits himself to his human parents and waits for the time when he is called into action by the Holy Spirit, the time of fulfillment. In Christ, we join in his obedience to the Father, and in him are now members of this new family of God.